Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on The Score.
1-2 to Freeman. There's a dozen for Treya Savage.
Well, what this shows me is John Snyder is looking at the results more than he's looking at anything else. I told you before, you got to throw away stats and tendencies when you're in a one game. Obviously, you got to win two, but you're in a one game situation where your pitcher is having a moment. Don't go to the stats when he's having a moment. Let your eyes determine when you think the hitters are telling you different.
Chop it a third, collect the second, over the first, double play, a World Series masterpiece.
This World Series has been fascinating. It has been extraordinary. It has been epic. And the Toronto Blue Jays go home leading this World Series 3-2, which I think surprises most people.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Myself included.
So we get a Game 6 on Friday, and if Yoshinobu Yamamoto can rise up and do his thing, maybe we get a Game 7 on Saturday. That'd be nice.
Good job by MLB to stay away from the NFL. Stay away tonight.
Yeah.
And you stay away Sunday.
And they stayed away. Well, they didn't stay away Monday.
Monday, there's nothing they could do.
There's nothing they could do.
But Thursday and Sunday, stay away.
Yeah, it's a smart thing to do. I saw this TV ratings number.
Ooh.
That there were 8 million people watching when Freddie Freeman walked it off at 2:45 Eastern time. And that is more people that were watching than when the game began, when first pitch happens. There were more people watching when that game ended than when that game began.
I have a theory.
It's kind of amazing.
The theory is that game started local time 5:08 in L.A., right?
Yes. Yes.
I think that there were probably a horde of Dodgers fans that got home from work, got dinner done,
and then
got the kids to bed and were like, wait, what's happening?
And so by 11:45, they were still locked in.
They're really locked in.
Yeah.
And then you see something epic again from Freddie Freeman in a World Series game.
It's a good theory. It's a good theory. It's still an amazing number.
There's no doubt about it. Like, baseball should be super happy about that because it shows what it means, like the drama of a game, of the World Series.
Yeah.
That people be like, no, I'm invested.
Yeah.
I am invested in this and I will click on.
Because a lot of people were texting each other and calling each other. Hey, you watching this?
Are you up?
Yeah.
For a different reason.
Yeah.
You get the you up text. It's so funny. I actually got a text from a friend of mine that was like, yeah, you know, we should hang out because, you know, text is good for saying hey and catching up on 18-inning baseball games.
That's what it is. It was happening like crazy. So I woke up the next day, Lawrence, and I had that story of Will Klein, the pitcher. And I don't need to rehash the story.
Share for the people, though, that don't know it.
It's just the dude, he threw the last four innings of the game and four scoreless innings, and he'd never thrown more than 30 pitches in a game. He threw 72, and this 25-year-old last guy on the roster gets mobbed by all his Hall of Fame teammates. And it's like, that story moved me so much. He said, I could never have dreamt a dream this good, you know? And it moved me so much. And I knew I was going to get a chance to come in here and talk about it. But I texted you guys about it in the morning already, right? With the details. I texted my siblings about it. I texted a group of baseball fans from college about it. And another group of baseball fans from college. I texted a group of musician baseball fans. I texted some other former radio colleague baseball fan. I called my wife and told her about it. I couldn't get enough of telling everybody this story. And I realized what I was doing was trying to fill the gaping hole left by my dad, who died 4 months ago. And some of the listeners probably remember my dad, Herb Spiegel. He was a damn good guest on Hit and Run from time to time. And he died 4 months ago, and I didn't realize how much I was missing him. And it has been an ache all week of this World Series since that 18-inning game. I can't tell him about it. I can't talk to him about it. And it freaking kills me. I called his widow, my stepmother, and talked with her about it.
How much he would have loved it.
Oh, God. And it was really nice. And in all these conversations, he's alive, you know, with my siblings. I told them how much I was missing him. And then we started talking about him. And then there he is present, you know, which was amazing. But like, I got into what we do to tell stories about sports. And I really got into it to make my dad listen to me. I was thinking about that this week. Because I knew that he would listen. But if I came to him with a good enough sports story or a sports fact or trivia, I knew I had him. Father of five, busy guy, active life. And like, I grew up reading old books that he had around of baseball stories and sports stories. Bill Stern, the old radio guy from the 30s, 40s, and 50s. A precursor to our guy Paul Harvey. You know, those kind of baseball stories, right? I read that stuff, and it ended up carving out a life where I get to talk about this stuff, and it's trying to talk to him. And I'm lucky I had him. I had him. Dude lived to 93, you know, unbelievable. And I'm lucky that I had him. But man, when you lose somebody and it's mixed in with the sports as well, or it's like, whew, that doesn't go away. It's 4 months later, and it feels like I lost him yesterday. You know what I mean? I wrote a eulogy. I wrote his obituary. But it's still like the grief just doesn't go away. And now every great baseball game in this whole World Series, I'm just thinking about him the entire time. And I figured there's people out there who could relate in this kind of moment.
I'm not your psychologist, even though I sometimes play it here on the radio show. You were doing this during the Cubs series, like the Cubs-Padres series. Like it was starting to, like, man, I wish my dad was watching this, and I wish I could talk to him about that. And
I
think that there,
it's going to be there forever.
Yes,
isn't it?
But with how recently it was, like
hitting me hard this postseason.
Because you talk about someone who was feeling the vibes around Wrigley Field.
You're right.
You were feeling it.
I didn't even think about that.
You know, and especially the night where you had to choose, between the two sides of your personality. You're like, I'm here doing this radio show. The game's getting ready to start. But got to go do a show.
Yeah.
And then you made it back to the ballpark.
And that was my life. I grew up with my parents, like, listening to opera and watching a baseball game with no sound on the TV. I grew up with that mix. And my mom was a music person. Dad was the sports person. So you're right. That's why that hit me as hard as it did.
That connection, that the generational connection to and with sports is pretty much why everyone gets involved in it to some degree. And the way that we share that, and sometimes the way that we show love to each other, can be wrapped inside of sports.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Because it's, yeah, I mean, that's fascinating. That everyone, and it could be different levels, like whatever
100%.
Whatever little instinct got you there. We do show love by being able to talk about it, because it's always something you can connect on, even if talking about the other stuff might be difficult, right?
100%. And people can get to know you through sports in what I think is intimate. Like, it's an intimate way. Like, the things that you care about. Like, my dad now will watch an Alabama football game with
me. Oh, see, that's beautiful.
You know, like, and now that he's like, okay, and I can be like, hey, there's the campus.
Come on. That's where
I graduated from. Like, that's where this picture is from. Like, that sort of thing.
High tide.
But that's what's up, man. Because you watch stuff because he was into it at the beginning.
Yep.
And now it becomes this exchange, hopefully, as your relationship deepens.
Yeah. And I think all of us, to some degree, have that connection with sports. It's why we love it. And you want to share it. Sometimes that sharing of it plays out in the group, in the collective. That's why when Twitter was Twitter, that's why it was so great.
Oh, it was connection. Totally was connection. And I still go there seeking that kind of honest emotional connection sometimes.
It's still there. That's why I do the halftime thing.
Yeah,
with the GIF.
Yeah.
I love that. It makes me happy when I get all of the replies because it shows that as a group, we're all watching a Bears game and we all have thoughts on it.
Yeah.
And we could share it. And I look forward to it every single Sunday.
Yeah, I see you do it. It's funny because like our group thread is much more active as a show during Bears games. And we've stopped, at least I've stopped kind of tweeting my thoughts and just kind of saving them to do the radio show. But then I pop on at halftime and I see you doing that each time.
And I love it because the creativity that you see from our listener base and our friends.
From the people you've cultivated. Yes. People that get you.
And you go, oh my God, that is perfect. That is spot on. Those are the types of things that happen when we go to games where you meet like-minded people.
Ideally.
And for us, it's a little bit different because people know who we are and they want to talk to us about it. I told Tanny and Alex yesterday, I'm in the Pedway. These two guys are clearly like on, you know, I was going to get my Starbucks or whatever. These two guys who are clearly on their lunch break, like they see me and they're walking one way and I'm walking another. And they go, Lawrence, is Caleb going to be okay? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, give it a couple of weeks. Let's see kind of where we're at. And they just kind of started laughing. But that's the thing, that connection. It's why like there's so many good Sox fan groups. And I have come to the belief now that Sox fans, sure, they're Sox fans, but they're more so fans of the family that has been built in the misery of being a White Sox fan over the last decade.
That's why when I called you a White Sox fan culturally, it hit a nerve, and I borrowed that from Judaism. Like, are you a hardcore religious Jew? Or I'm more of a cultural Jew. For you, it's as a White Sox fan, it hit. But there's something about baseball, though, isn't there? Maybe it's just because it's such a great sport to talk about. It's such a great discussion sport, and it's so...
It's built on discussion because there's time.
Yeah, there's time for it, absolutely. But it's also, it's time travel. I mean, you sit there and... When Trey Savage, I think he had the most strikeouts for anybody under 22 in a World Series since Smokey Joe Wood. I know Smokey Joe Wood because my dad had books about great players from the 10s and 20s and the aughts. And there's Smokey Joe Wood. You know, it's like, so I'm instantly, you end up thinking of him. Any extra inning game, my dad would always get in touch with my brother and say, you awake? You're an adult now. You can stay awake. Because he didn't let him stay awake for Carlton Fisk's home run in 1975. And he felt guilty about it for decades, for the rest of his life. So anytime there was an extra inning playoff game, he'd always get in touch with my brother and say, I want to make sure you're awake. You know, you're allowed to stay awake now. Just like, it's been an emotional week. And then I saw this, and I think this is a beautiful thing to add to the mix. From Kevin Clark, great football podcaster, right? Mm-hmm. Football writer and football podcaster.
Worked forever for the Wall Street Journal. I don't know where he is now. Is he still there?
Yeah. What's his show called? That now I forget. It's by Kevin Clark is the Twitter nom de plume. I forget what his show is called. But he lost his father last week. Kevin Clark lost his dad. And he had an interview scheduled with Jim Nantz. And he decided to honor the interview that he had scheduled with Jim Nantz to talk football because his dad would have wanted him to keep going and keep doing his thing. And Jim Nantz caught wind of this and so did a bunch of research on his own about Kevin Clark's dad and came to the interview ready to talk football, but ready to talk about fathers and about Kevin Clark's father in particular. How about that human effort from the great Jim Nantz? And here's a little bit of their conversation, which is in the media diet for Chris Tannehill this week and now in ours because of that.
One of the best pieces of advice I ever got came from Arnold Palmer in a moment like this. My dad had not passed yet, but he was failing, and I was facing some rather large career decisions. Actually, it was the opportunity to move over to news and leave the boyhood dream. This is all I ever wanted to do, is work for CBS Sports, but now I had an opportunity to work for CBS News and leave this behind. And it was a big opportunity financially and beyond, but that wasn't what was in my heart. And I grieved because my dad wasn't capable of being able to consult me on this. He was deep down the road on with his battle with Alzheimer's. But there was some, you know, attention about this decision. It was in the media, and I ended up saying, I'm not taking the money, and that's not the driver for me. I have the job I always wanted. I'm staying with sports. So shortly thereafter, I mean, maybe 2 weeks after that decision had been played out in the press, I saw Arnold at Augusta. It was one of his last times as a competitor, and he was on the putting green. And he looked over, he saw me, and he said, hey, come over here. And I had a beneficiary of a wonderful friendship with Arnold. It was so deep that I actually, one day, I did his eulogy. I was one of his eulogists at his funeral. So anyway, he came over and he walked me through, how come you made this decision? How did you come to it? And I told him it was hard. He said, why was it hard? And I said, because my dad wasn't there to be able to talk it through. He says, no, you don't understand. Your dad made that decision with you. I said, how's that? He said, he was talking to you the whole time. You just didn't realize it. He was right here. And Arnold had a big hand, like a baseball mitt. And he reached, and all of a sudden, almost knocked me over. He kept hitting me right here in the heart. He says, Jim, he was right here. He's right here. He's always going to be right here. You were listening to him. And you made that decision in concert with your father. Don't ever forget, for as long as you're alive and you face moments in your lifetime, you don't know what to do. Just remember, he's right here. That's the best advice I can tell you. As you march on, your career is magical, hugely successful. It's only going to get bigger. You got so many roads to conquer and great things to go out there and achieve. He's still going to be right there, just like Arnold said.
Poof. That's Jim Nantz talking about Arnold Palmer and dads and your dad being right there. Goodness. So, and my dad was with me this week. Right, he's with us on this show.
He's with us right now.
He's with us right now as we talk baseball.
Like that's
October of 1956, and I was a Air Force navigator at the time, and I was going to miss the baseball game because I always liked to listen to the World Series game. Mm-hmm. But the engineer got me the ball game on the airplane on the radio. And it was Don Larson's perfect game.
My dad listened to Don Larson's perfect game on his airplane radio with the Air Force while moving an atomic bomb around during the Cold War. Tanny, you got to be playing my dad's voice. What are you doing?
He's doing what
he's trying
to get
me to cry. You're trying to do that thing, that Roy Firestone thing that he did to Cuba Gooding Jr. I know. Trying to make me cry.
Now, if I want to make you cry, I'd bring up your reply all email fiasco. Which is really
dental plan.
Caught fire around the hallways.
It really has. Everybody I see from any station around these hallways, like, hey, how about the pigs reply all, huh? How about the dental plan? Did you find anything out about the expanded dental?
The thing is that I feel like you might be the canary in the coal mine on this. I think the reason that it resonates is maybe other people are going through the same thing.
Rob Hart from BBM's got a daughter who's about to approach bracism.
Dental plan.
Now we all know about it. Connectivity. It's what it's all about. Back to where we originally started.
So listen, look, this segment is ending, but this conversation doesn't have to speak. So if you want to get back into this at some point after the World Series is over or whenever, we can. Because there are a lot of people who are connected. That's what we do. That's what the score is.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree, and I appreciate it. And it's like, it's been a weird and tough week. And I you know, there's a great Jim Carrey quote on grief, and it's long, but the short of it is this. The truth is you never truly move on. You move with it. The love you had does not disappear. It transforms. And I think that's absolutely true.
That's what's up. Our guy Paris Schutz is here from Fox 32. We've got a lot of things to ask him because there's been no dirt that's been moved yet for the Bears, and they're running out of time.
They got like 2 months.
And the sessions are over, and now it looks like they're changing strategy again, which should have been the strategy they had in the first place. Pay everybody off! We'll talk with Paris about that next here on The Score.
But I'll remain steadfast that the goal is to make sure that we have shovels in the ground in 2025, and I'm confident that will happen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Well, I've been waiting to say, and the stars are Spiegel and Holmes. Chicago.
Afternoons on The Score.
The taxpayer should not be left on the hook for the debt that came from building Soldier Field. It is a private business, $9 billion business with wealthy owners, private owners, I might add. And when companies come to the state of Illinois, all the time, private or public companies, they come to the state of Illinois and they want help to grow or build something new and big. We help. We help them with infrastructure. We help them in a lot of different ways. And I'm for that. We should help private businesses and public businesses grow in the state of Illinois. What I'm not for is that we're responsible for building your factory or we're responsible for building your new headquarters. We're not.
The governor of the state of Illinois, J.B. Pritzker, talking about the Bears and their continued search for money and funding and a place to build something or other. Paris Schutz does a great job on politics. Paris on politics on Fox 32. He's nice enough to walk across the street because their studio is literally across the street from ours and hang out with us because he's a P1 listener. He knows that we love watching him. Paris, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks. Always great to be here. Usually I'm tempted to call in after a Bears game and be, you know, the anonymous Joe Blow caller angry at what Caleb Williams did, but this is better.
You could be Paris from across the street.
I'll just be Paris from across the street.
Yeah, I think that'd be a
Paris
good thing.
From the new east side.
That's
right. You got options. We thought of you today because as the Bears are scuffling and struggling to get any sort of traction with the state government, Chicago has stepped up as an entity led by Cam Buckner, the representative, in like bringing up these understandable, you know, holding points, these blockages for the conversation.
Right.
This from Cranes today. The Bears offered $25 million as a payment to benefit Chicago as the team seeks to soften opposition to legislation, aiding their move to Arlington Heights. So is this the old Chicago way? This is just a straight up payoff. Is this even legal?
It sounds like legalized bribery. Yeah. I mean, it is the Chicago way. The Bears are learning that you got to pay to play here. I mean, it's a little different because they're asking for taxpayer help to build their stadium in Arlington Heights. They've been at this for 2 years. They asked for $900 million, you know, directly for a stadium in Chicago. That wasn't going to fly. So now their ask is for this legislation that would allow them to save money on their property taxes, essentially. And then they want about $855 million for infrastructure, which the state typically, states do provide help for infrastructure around big projects. So the state, especially lawmakers like Cam Buckner from Chicago, are saying, so why are we going to help you out to leave Chicago, leave this massive debt at Soldier Field because, you know, those that remember the renovation of Soldier Field 20-some-odd years ago, we still have $500 million in debt to pay on that. So what Governor Pritzker said is like, fine, we'll help you with your legislation, but why don't you think about paying off that $500 million in debt? They don't have to. The Bears don't have to do that. They don't owe that debt. You know, that's all taxpayer debt, the Sports Facility Authority through the hotel tax. Anyway,
Is $25 million even close to anything?
No, and I'll read a response I got from Cam Buckner. He said, the Bears' offer isn't just inadequate, it's disrespectful. It reflects a longer pattern of tone deafness from this franchise when it comes to its relationship with the city that made it. We're talking about a franchise valued at nearly $10 billion offering scraps to the city of Chicago. He goes on to talk about how Cleveland... Now, the Browns are offering $100 million to the city as they move to the suburbs for a new stadium. So maybe it's a negotiation. Pritzker started with $500 million. They come back at $25 million. You know, maybe they'll settle on $100 million here. But still, it's a gauntlet for the Bears to get what they want. And I think it reflects just a lack of strategy for 2 years. Yeah. People in Springfield have all said they're not here. They're not lobbying. George McCaskey's not here.
Paris, that's the part that I can't quite figure out, that throughout this time that the Bears have known that they wanted to do something new. And this is, I know that you talk to people, I've talked to people about this. How did they not understand that the political game that they were going to play needed to actually be played? Like, they needed to go to Springfield. They needed to talk to people who aren't just representatives of Chicago.
Right. And they, I think the first mistake was getting close with Mayor Johnson and kind of shutting out the state leaders. It wasn't Mayor Johnson that could help you. It was the state that you needed help from. So you needed to get close to Pritzker and the legislative. Whether you like this process or not, it does sound kind of ugly and unslimy, but that's the process. And the other part of the game is leverage. And the Bears had showed no leverage throughout this whole thing, which is why the state at this point, Cam Buckner and company, they're almost kind of abusing the Bears here. They're not only not giving them what they want, but they're shaking them down, basically.
They're making them pay a tax.
They're making them pay a tax, yeah. And so it's like the Bears could have said, well, we're looking at Northwest Indiana. The governor of Indiana wants them to come to Northwest Indiana. They've set up a commission there where they might give them more of what they want. But they didn't do that. And you know, the Bears are a Chicago treasure. What would it look like if they went to Northwest Indiana? But
that's not the point.
Not the point.
Because the point is to use that stuff if this is the game you want to play.
Right.
You know, like even the Cubs were never going to leave Wrigley, but they had a dalliance with Rosemont.
They sure did.
So and you got to be willing to do that stuff. I don't think that the White Sox were ever going to go to Florida back in the day.
I'm not sure about that.
Well, maybe they were. Okay, but anyway, the point is the Bears didn't play the game. Do you think that if they had played that game and been gangsters and threatened Northwest Indiana and done it perfectly,
yes,
that in this climate they would have gotten more?
Yeah, yeah. And I can guarantee you if they had teamed up with Jerry Reinsdorf and said, you know what, we're going to build two separate stadiums. They will be on two sites, but the financing mechanism will be the same. One financing mechanism to help build two stadiums, lawmakers would have listened because that's a huge economic development. That's lots of construction projects.
So the Bears missed their chance by not hooking up with Jerry.
They separated themselves from that process almost immediately.
Instead, they competed against each other, and that was a huge mistake.
And they thought of it as a race to Springfield, even though they weren't actually going to Springfield, which is something that Jerry Reinsdorf did. He actually went down there.
No, you're exactly right, because Jerry knows how to play that game. Jerry has historically played the game, and the game has changed. That's why we're talking about it. But it definitely felt like a race. I remember we talked about it like a race because only one person could get it. But if they had combined and said, look what they do in Kansas City where the ballparks are next to each other.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Something like that.
But not even that. It was just if they could combine the financing, they might have extended the tax that helped build whatever it's called.
The tourism
tax.
The rate.
That built the rate and that renovated Soldier Field. It's the hotel tourism tax. The lawmakers would have been amenable to extending that tax for a big project like this. Two stadiums.
What if they had done the 78 for the White Sox and Lakefront for the Bears if that's what they really wanted and combined those with funding?
I think there was a pathway for that, but the Lakefront, you have to get past the Lakefront Protection Ordinance. You remember Friends of the Parks, the Lucas Museum. George Lucas has a PTSD from dealing with Friends of the Parks, and they were going to come back and try to block any kind of lakefront stadium.
So it could have been the U.S. Steel spot or the Michael Reese spot.
Or 87th Street, which they didn't even explore. And there might have been money for them to go down there.
Michael Reese, lawmakers were very interested in, I can tell you that. But the Bears always said that the site wasn't big enough. It wasn't feasible. They would have had to spend hundreds of millions to relocate train tracks.
And Lawrence is concerned about what might be underneath the ground.
I'm very concerned about what might be underground there for a good reason. But that's neither here nor there, at least not yet. I was at the University of Chicago last week, and I was speaking on stadiums, and they're doing a really cool thing at the Harris Policy School and trying to figure out how to make something like this work. So I threw up a map, a heat map. Vivid Sports did this. Vivid Seats did this. On the counties and who they're a fan of. And I blew up Illinois to just kind of explain to people that, yeah, the majority of people who live in Chicagoland are Bears fans. But once you get south of I-80, there's all sorts of fandoms and fan bases that don't, the Bears don't resonate necessarily. Right. If you're a representative from Charleston, for example, are you more likely to be a Bears fan or a Colts fan? And I feel like that's stuff that the Bears didn't kind of keep in mind, that they thought that Chicago was all that they needed. And they're a bunch of people. They're old.
But they didn't even try to get the Chicago legislators. You know, they thought everyone – were the Bears. And so – and now you've got the fall veto session. Lawmakers are down there today. It ends today. Kevin Warren said, well, we're going to get this legislation on our property tax certainty in the fall veto session. They're about to adjourn. They never even mentioned the word Bears. And that was never going to happen.
So they've blown their chance in the regular session and now this short fall veto session.
Right,
so,
right.
So what are their options now?
They wait till next year. and hope that that Governor Pritzker has started to say like he's open to this to this legislation, and if he tells lawmakers, you know what, go ahead and vote for it, then they will. But like he said, he wants them to spend $500 million to pay off all that debt on Soldier Field, because if the Bears move, they do have a penalty they have to pay for breaking their lease, something like $87 million. But they don't owe that debt. The city owes that. The state owes that. And so if the Bears actually pay that debt, then the governor will give them whatever they want. But the Bears don't want to pay. They came back with $25 million.
But as you say, this could be setting up as a negotiation where the governor is basically saying, I want $500. The Bears start at $25, which that's an incredible text that you got from Cam Buckner.
Yeah.
You know, calling that. What did he call the $25 million?
Disrespectful. He said not only is it inadequate, it's disrespectful, and it reflects a longer pattern of tone deafness. And I have talked to lawmakers, said, why isn't George McCaskey here himself? He's the guy.
Because they outsourced it to Kevin. They hired Kevin to do this so they wouldn't have to.
And I think there have been mistakes and a lack of understanding the political environment in Illinois, whereas maybe in Minnesota it was different. Maybe you had to cozy up with the mayor and the city more than here, where you had to cozy up with the state.
Paris, I keep trying to explain this to people, that the politics here, it's very local. And the type of politics that's aldermanic is very different from the type of politics that you're going to deal with at the state house. And then what the governor has believed and has run on, and what I think eventually will be part of his platform as a presidential candidate, where it's no private money for public enterprise. And not understanding that ecosystem to me is crazy. Now, and I know that there have been people who have been working with the Bears, trying to explain to them that this is how this works, and somehow they haven't gotten the message.
No, and they point to the Ricketts. I mean, the Ricketts this was, 10 years ago now, where they tried to get public money, and it was Rahm Emanuel shut them down. So they got other goodies. Yeah. They got to extend Waveland and Sheffield.
That's an important thing. They
got lucrative.
They got opportunities to extend the way they wanted to and build stuff around there they wanted to. And they got some tax breaks on the back end.
Right.
They got some tax breaks on the back end for making their own initial investment. So that's another way this could go.
Yeah, they I know that there were advisors telling them, look at what the Ricketts did as a template for what you wanted. Don't just ask for money. Remember, Kevin Warren straight up asked for something like $900 million just for the stadium.
And the thing that the Cubs have over them is that the Cubs can say, we are the number one tourism destination in the state. They've got the actual facts to back that up.
And they have more games.
Right? We're moving people through those turnstiles. We're bringing money into the state and into the city. The Bears can't say that on the same level.
No, not at all. They can talk about it with prestige and importance and reputation, but they don't actually have the hard data to back it up.
But now they've changed their messaging way late in the game to say, hey, this Arlington Heights Stadium will benefit Chicago. It'll be hotel revenue. Where are they going to stay when they come from out of town? They're going to stay in Chicago, not Arlington Heights. I don't know about that. I mean, I would think that's a big plot of land. They could build some hotels.
We are going to build them a hotel right next to the stadium.
Yeah. We're going to make it so that they don't have to go to the city.
But they could.
And quite honestly, like if we're keeping it a buck, it's probably easier. If you're coming into Chicago and you're flying into O'Hare, it's easier for you to go to Arlington Heights.
Of 10 minutes away.
And here's the thing. Whatever they build out there, like I still have tons of baseball fans and Cub fans from out of town who come into town and they stay at Hotel Zachary if they're going to do a weekend at Wrigley.
Sure.
And they pay whatever they got to pay.
Right.
And they make it happen because it's special to be at the place across from the ballpark.
And if you're the Bears and you need revenue and you've got that giant plot of land, of course you're going to build that kind of stuff out there and you're going to want state help for it.
I still think that was the mistake because that is the thing that if you're Kevin Warren and you walk in with nothing, then you can say Naperville, you know, Mokena, Northwest Indiana. Then you can do the bidding thing. But once you've got the plot of land, the incentives are like, well, you guys spent a lot of money on that to not do anything with it.
And that's so interesting because when he was brought in, I believe that he wasn't just, you know, pitching Chicago for leverage. I think he wanted this. He thought it was the best situation for the organization to be downtown, to have the skyline
and
the shot.
He fell in love with it.
And he fell in love with it. I think that's all real. And then at the end of the day, he had no other option. But you're right. They already had that land purchased. And it feels like McCaskey, when hiring Warren, didn't ask him, like, look, I want to give you this job, but we're going to Arlington Heights.
So when New Year's Eve comes and he hasn't broken ground, does he, and he says, well, like, does it matter? Does it matter that he says, well, we have new information, we've had to pivot? Has he blown anything in terms of the X's and O's of how this stuff goes? Public opinion a little, but
because he promised he'd break ground before the end of the year and he'd get this legislation. He can break ground. They don't need the legislation. They want the legislation. They can build this stadium, and the governor said this a million times. They can do whatever they want. They've got the land.
You think they still will break ground?
They might do a ceremonial moving of dirt.
This is what we talked about.
That's about it. They'll take the shovel. They'll move a little dirt. You know, they'll find an old horseshoe in it. But nothing is going in the ground this year. Okay,
this is the shovel that George Halas used himself in.
It's orange and blue.
Yes, my goal still remains to be able to, you know, to move dirt around in 2025, which is important.
Virginia planted rutabagas in the family garden using this exact shovel.
Right.
Something like that.
Yeah, no, it's not going to happen. Fall veto session is over, and they could choose to just build the thing and not ask for the tax certainty or ask for it down the road, but it just doesn't seem like that's the route they want to go. So this gauntlet is the Chicago lawmakers that do not want to give them tax money to leave Soldier Field and leave that massive debt there. So I think it'll be interesting to see if a negotiation happens here. And they settle on a number that's bigger than $25 million.
Paris, this was great and always informative. Thank you so much
you
for
guys.
Stopping by, man.
All right.
Thanks Paris. Guys.
Check out Paris Schutz on Fox 32. He does a great job over there breaking all of this stuff down. If you want to see a bulldog political commentator, is this man right here.
And then you can see me and Lou Kanellis just going at another bulldog.
Oh, they're a longtime bulldog in Luke Kanellis. Yeah. He's got thoughts on the stadium, too.
Oh, I know. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know he's got a lot of thoughts on
and sources.
And sources.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, the Bulls are kind of fun, right? What's next here on The Score?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, changemakers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm telling you, this is one of the surprise teams in the NBA.
Oh, my God.
Here.
My God.
64-62 at the half. Yeah, to sell
it. I got to give the Bulls their flowers. Oh, they're giddy over there.
Yep. Oh, 39-27 was the way they outscored him in the third quarter. And giddy again.
No, that don't count.
Okay, Modus.
Oh, hey, I'm telling you,
Modus is playing excellent.
Yeah, good pass, boy.
Oh! Jalen Smith from Josh Giddey.
That boy Bozellas is nice.
He is.
Okay, Modus 27-5-27.
Woo! Hear that? That's Inside the NBA discussing the Bulls. The 4-0 start, the style of play, the youth, and Matas Bozellas has caught the attention of the Nationals because it's 4 real wins, especially the first 3. But even the 4th one, you know, that's 4-0 team now with some heavy hitters from the Eastern Conference coming to play.
Considering the Bulls don't have a ton of national television games, and that's been something that has, you know, devolved over the last decade of Bulls basketball, it's nice to see them represented and thought of well by people that, I mean, and we all know how people feel about that particular crew of people. People love them so much that the show jumped networks because they love that they're around the NBA. Like, it's just so great what they do. So to see the Bulls in that space is cool. I thought that they would probably end up 4-6 in their first 10. Now I think they can be 6-4, 7-3. They got the 2 games with the Knicks.
Back-to-back starting on Friday.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting to see how they match up.
Cleveland's coming up. In there, like within that first 10. But I think people thought the first 3 was going to be a true test because somebody, like, there are probably 2 teams that could break into the top 6 in the East. And we don't exactly know who they're going to be, but preseason, a lot of the conversation was, it's probably going to be Detroit, or it's probably going to be Atlanta, or it might be the Bulls, or it could be Orlando. So you got all 4 of those teams. The Bulls just beat the other 3. So,
but it's October.
Yes, it is.
You know, and that's it's
the only month available.
Agreed. Is all the data that we have, and I'd rather them be 4-0 than 0-4, for
yeah.
Sure.
But I thought, are you starting to feel it? Because I'm feeling it a little bit. Joe Cowley was feeling it yesterday.
That surprised me.
Our guy, Ricky O'Donnell, who has been incredibly critical.
Ricky Charisma?
Ricky said he sees the vision. He sees the vision that's going. I know it, but don't go too far. So you don't have to go too far.
My whole thing is, if Modus is a star, that changes everything. If they got a star, because that's been the problem. The problem is not with any of Billy Donovan's tactics. Like, he's a really good coach. The problem has been you don't have one guy that's a guy.
Well,
you've got a couple of guys that you've had a couple of guys that are like, oh, they're decent players, but you knew what their flaws were.
I hear you, but I think the first problem has been a cohesion of vision between Arturis and Billy, and that got locked in at the beginning of last year and has been reinforced in the offseason, and they've hit the ground running with that cohesion of vision. Now, they're not going to get to any sort of special elite level without somebody developing as the star, but the vision is there for how they're trying to play.
I also think that they still have some defensive issues. But we'll see. Okoro was brought in here because he's a tough dude and he defends, and they want to try and change what their culture has been. defensively, and I think that he provides that for him. But it's all about, do you have a dude? And if Modest is a dude, then it could be fun around here.
It's possible that he is a dude. What he shows in his isolation moments, there is some shimmy and some shake, and we know about the thunder as he finishes. And now
he tries to put people through the rim, which is what I've been begging Patrick Williams to do for 6 years.
Yeah, yeah. So he does that. Modest does that when he finishes. But now, in order to get there, there have been some moves and some ISO power. Last night, he shot the ball from deep really, really well. Better than he has in other games this season. He wasn't great against Orlando shooting from deep, but he hit a couple against Atlanta. Then last night, he shot it with great confidence.
Modest was 4 of 6 from behind the arc, finished with 27 points, 5 rebounds, and 2 assists.
Was that Shag? Is it this? That Modest is nice. Or was that Kenny?
That Modest is nice.
That Modest is nice.
I hope that it keeps going in that direction, because then we can have something to talk about. We'll keep checking in on the Bulls.
Man, there's already something to talk about. It's already something.
I didn't see you fighting for more space for them in the rundown today.
I fought yesterday and the day before. And the day before that.
I didn't see you say, hey, let's move one of our Bear segments to talk Bulls.
What? I would have happily.
Notice what time that segment started.
My goodness. I will not stand for this.
What are we doing at 425, Speaks?
More Bulls.
No, we're doing categories. I didn't see you say, let's move categories out of the way to talk about Trey Jones.
Tanny, the future disgraced host of categories, is hosting, I bet there's a Bulls category. I'm just guessing. I could be wrong.
You could be wrong.
I could be.
You could be wrong. How about we do a Bears hit?
How many words?
One word.
All right.
Mark Grody has talked with a lot of people up at Hallis Hall, and he's going to share what he learned next here on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Grody, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved, or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.